Welcome to this exquisite moment in the Miracles Healing Center, which is everywhere that we are in this moment, in the recognition of who we are. And we are here in love and in remembrance of God. And we're here in gratitude, in peace, and in light. I love you with all my heart, and I thank you all for gathering this day, this last day of our sojourn in time. A brief and exciting sojourn in time, and we meet again at the end of time, where we remember ourselves and we remember that we are whole and perfect as created by God. So without further ado, is it me? Without further ado, I'm just going to read today's lesson from the Course in Miracles because it's absolutely exquisite. And it starts with a question: what is the body? And all that we have recognized in this 10-day, 10,000-year, 10-million-year, 10-minute, 10-second, 10-nanosecond sojourn that we've been on is what we've recognized is that it was the idea of a separate body identity that kept us from experiencing the abstraction and the love that we truly are. And so Jesus in this lesson asks, what is the body? Like, what is that? And so for the first time, like, we've never heard this before, and I'm very aware that, you know, some of us think that we've read A Course in Miracles before or that we know what it says. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't really matter how many times I didn't remember God, or how many times I didn't forgive you, or how many times I didn't remember who I am. All that really matters is that I remember now. That's all. And in this moment, right here, right now, in the love and the healing that we're experiencing, all that apparent history is completely wiped away and it's totally dissolved. In this moment, I loose my mind, I loose the world from all I thought it was. So let's just take a quick look at this. What is the body? The body is a fence the Son of God imagines he has built to separate parts of his self from other parts. It is within this fence he thinks he lives, to die as it decays and crumbles. For within this fence, he thinks that he is safe from love. Identifying with his safety, he regards himself as what his safety is. And so I base my entire reality on an idea of solidness and separation. And all that we've come to recognize in this amazing journey that we've been on is a complete abstraction of our mind. The recognition that none of it is really solid. We're going to be watching a video today, the last video in the series, The Splendor of Love. Love is a many splendid thing. In this video that we're going to be watching today, which is the second part of what we saw yesterday, I loose the world from all I thought it was. The word that is used 109 times is the word idea. And it's really absolutely vital that I recognize that everything is an idea. And this is a recognition I'm having in this moment. In this moment of recognition of my whole mind, and that everything is an idea, that the basic constituent of everything is light, is mind, I am completely released from whatever I thought this was. I'm completely released from any idea of solidness or separation. I'm completely released in this moment of conversion or resurrection, I am completely released from the idea of a fleshy, decaying association that I thought was what I was. I'm released from the idea of the solidness of this to the recognition of the light that it really is. And it has given me in this moment to experience that light, to experience that love, to experience the truth. It really is an ontological admission of God, if you like. Make God your beginning. Make everything your beginning. And we're home in heaven with our Father. So, carrying right on. The body will not stay. Yet this he sees as double safety. For the Son of God's impermanence is proof, his fence, his work, and do the task his mind assigns to them. For if his oneness still remained untouched, who could attack and who could be attacked? Who could be victor? Who could be his prey? Who could be victim? Who the murderer? And if he did not die, what proof is there that God's eternal Son can be destroyed? The body is a dream. Like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness, but can quite suddenly revert to fear where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful, must the body serve the purpose given it. But we can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think that it's for. The body is the means by which God's Son returns to sanity. Though it was made to fence him into hell without escape, yet has the goal of heaven been exchanged for the pursuit of hell. The Son of God extends his hand to reach his brother and to help him walk along the road with him. Now is the body holy. Now it serves to heal the mind that it was made to kill. You will identify with what you think will make you safe. Whatever it may be, you will believe that it is one with you. Your safety lies in truth and not in lies. Love is your safety. Fear does not exist. Identify with love and you are safe. Identify with love and you are home. Identify with love and find yourself. And so how is that actually done? It's not really done at all. It's a permission, it's an allowance. It's by letting all things be exactly as they are. In letting all things be exactly as they are, my necessity to carve out a separate identity for myself is absolutely gone. And in that, I recognize that everything is a part of me because I'm not solid. I am part of God. I'm part of what everything is. The Holy Spirit is my mind. We call it the implicate order, the tachyon force field of energy. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but that is the basic constituent of my very being. That is the essence of my life, and it is true right here and right now. Hi, Rita! It's true right here and right now. And in this moment, in this recognition that I'm not solid, that everything is idea, that everything is light. And those are the words we're going to be looking at today. Light, joy, mind, power, freedom, home. The basic constituent of all of that is light. It's truth. It's God. It's what we are. And so at this end, and this is really, Rita took me to a Catholic Mass yesterday, for which I'm very grateful, because, you know, I'm Catholic and I haven't been to Mass forever. And it was great. We went to St. Cecilia down here in the Dells, and it was really quite extraordinary, because it's all, the interesting thing about it is that there was always an idea that it was about religion, or what you believed versus what I believe. But it really doesn't have anything to do with that. It only has to do with me. It literally only has to do with me in the discovery of the truth of what I am, period. And every single thing that I need has already been told me. It's in the scripture that was read yesterday. It's in the whole Mass. I mean, for goodness sakes, you know, we consecrate the host, we raise it up, and in that moment, there is a transubstantiation. There's actually a conversion, which is a word that was used yesterday, and is also being used in this video, literally a conversion of the idea of solidness to the knowledge and truth of light. That is what the communion is. And it's only in that transubstantiation that we recognize the oneness that we are, which is what the communion is. Yeah. Our communion is simply our union in communication with our Father. And it's great to go through these rituals. It's great to use all the symbolism, but it's really meaningless unless it's my direct experience. And the only way that I can have the direct experience is by the admission that it's going on in me. That's the only way. And it's so fantastic. The only way to heaven is through heaven. The only way to God is through God. There is no other way. Love is the way. I think it was it Cammie and Ellie that sang, "All you need is love." We've seen it, we've experienced it. And all we really need to know is that it's now. That in this moment, that every single thing I'm looking at is really the light reflection of my own mind. All the conflict is gone in that. All the hate, all the fear, all of that stuff is completely gone. That is the experience of the healing of my mind. The healing of my mind is the recognition that I am whole. And, you know, I know, like, I sound like I'm, you know, talking to kindergarten here. And in a particular sense, I am, because I'm really at the very, very beginning. I'm really just at the beginning of this amazing creation of which I'm an integral and whole part. I'm only at the beginning of the recognition of the love and the truth that I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Okay. I just love you so much. It's so amazing to rediscover ourselves in the truth of what we are, to really rediscover that you never were what I made of you. It's not that I'm going to suddenly release you from something. There never was a point at which you ever were that. And that's the lesson today. The lesson today is I lose the world from all I thought it was. And that is simply a surrendering and a relaxing into the heart of God. And that is the complete loss of necessity for me to defend myself or to defend whatever it was I thought that I was. It's a real action of letting go, as Pat and Sandra taught earlier, letting go and letting God. It's here, it's now. How lucky are we that God is our Father? That is an amazing idea, that we have a source of reality, a source of creation, love, and that we are loved in every moment, and that we're never absent from love. Love can never be absent. That is an amazing thing. Wouldn't I just want to just relax and enjoy that fact? And that's all this is about. This is the entire Miracles Healing Center. This is the entire recognition of the passion of our creative mind. So let me not be your critic, Lord, today, and judge against you. Why? Because by judging against God, I'm simply judging against myself. I give everything because I'm only giving to myself. Wow. Let me not attempt to interfere with your creation and distort it into sickly forms. Let me be willing to withdraw my wishes from its unity and thus to let it be as you created it. For thus will I be able to recognize myself as you created me. In love was I created, and in love will I remain forever. What can frighten me when I let all things be exactly as they are? Let not our sight be blasphemous today, nor let our ears attend to lying tongues. Only reality is free of pain. Only reality is free of loss. Only reality is wholly safe. And it is only this we seek today. And it's an extraordinary recognition to realize that any pain that I experience is simply the pain of my own resistance. And, you know, I always use this example because I love it so much. My friend, an old friend of mine called Thaddeus Golas, wrote a book called The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment. And in this book, he says, you know, we always think that pain or fear is a signal to contract more. But that pain or fear is a signal that I'm already contracted and I need to extend. I need to release. I need to forgive. I need to remember love. I need to remember God. And I need to do that now. And that's what makes it so amazingly cool. I just love it. So today we're looking at light. We're looking at joy. We're looking at mind, power, freedom, home. And in looking at it, I'm not really speaking about an observation of it, but a seeing with new eyes, a knowing, an experience that really is the constituents of our, those are the constituents of our being. That's what I am. I am what freedom is. I am what light is. I am what joy is. I am what power is. I am what home is. I am at home. I am that. The kingdom of God is within. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is you. You are the cornerstone of the kingdom. But it's a real true thing. And the only thing that's really occurred in our getting together is an increased determination, perseverance, forgiveness, gratefulness, blah, 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 all of that stuff to really today, in this moment, know the truth of what we speak, the truth of what we've spoken for so long. So what I'm going to read today from the Holy Scripture is Matthew 25. And I'm going to do it from my cool Aramaic Bible that doesn't sound like anything else. I say this every time I read from this book. The guy who translated this didn't really care about how the words sounded. He just wanted to make sure that he got it right, that it says what it is supposed to say. So some of the sentences may be a little awkward, but it doesn't really matter. And I'm going to use the parable of the talents, which interestingly enough, I thought I was going to use that. And then I decided I was going to really read about the Transfiguration. And I went to go look for it, and my Bible fell open, and it fell open at the parable. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the parable of the talents. And it's really a great parable because it speaks. What is really interesting is that in the conversion or in the change or the transformation of our minds, that everything we speak is really coming from that. And this is what you'll find in listening to the master teacher, that there is not a time that he descends into a previous definition that I had of the word. And, you know, it's a very cool thing because, you know, with all the boots and everything, we really are dealing with words. But we're dealing with words as idea, as expressions of idea, as integral in every single thing that they express. We're not really dealing with concepts or a formulation, because it's very interesting too, the difference between a concept and an idea. Well, everything is mind for sure, but a concept is always an attempt to organize idea, to organize mind, to formulate in a bid to separate. And so when we use these words, we really use them in a recognition of a shared and singular experience. And it's very, very cool to read the parables from that knowledge, from that experience of singularity. Because Jesus talks about, I'm going to read it to you, and then how are we doing for time? Because we have an extraordinary lineup of musicians this morning. What time is it, Claire? 9:40. Oh, great, I got time. Holy smoke, I got nothing but time, baby. All right. So this, you know, I'm going to read it and I'm going to talk about it because it's really an extraordinarily cool parable. So here goes. And it comes right, there's no pause. It comes right off of the tale of the, you know, the good virgins who kept their lamps full and their wicks trimmed. The whole idea is be alert, be open in your mind. But let's move on. He doesn't pause between those two parables. So we're going to go straight to verse 14 in Matthew 25. Okay, Gladys? And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, it's great because when Jesus gives a parable, he will always say, well, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Because obviously words fail entirely, you know, to describe. What are you going to describe? Who are you going to talk to, you know? I mean, it's a singular experience. Words fail entirely. And so in the parables, it will always be like unto. You know, it's a movement of the mind, and it's an encouragement for the mind to really begin to open into new dimensions. And this is everything that we've experienced in the last 10 days. Like all of a sudden, you're discovering many more rooms in my Father's mansion. As Jesus says, in my father's house has many mansions, or in my Father's house has many rooms. All of a sudden, we're into multiverses, and we're opening up to ideas that we didn't even know were there. And that's always the action of extension, the action of giving. But I digress. Let me go to this parable, because I really want to read it before I have to go. All right, so verse 14, for it is like a man, so the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went on a journey. He called his servants and delivered his possessions to them. There was one, he gave 5 talents, and I love that he uses the word talents. Okay. He gave 5 talents and another 2 and another 1. Each man according to his ability. This is great. And he went immediately on a journey. Now he who received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. And likewise also, he who received 2 traded and gained 2 others. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the money of his master. Now after a great time, the master came and received an account from them of those servants. And he who received 5 talents and brought 5 others drew near and said, "My master, you gave to me 5 talents. Behold, I have added 5 others to them." And he said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will appoint you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he who received 2 talents drew near and said, "My master, you gave me 2 talents. Behold, I have added 2 others to them." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will appoint you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he who received 1 talent drew near also and said, "My master, you are known to be a hard man, and that you reap where you have not sown, and you gather from where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Behold, you have what is yours." His master answered and said to him, "Evil and lazy servant." "So it is known that I reap where I have not sown, and gather from where I have not scattered. For you would have been right to have placed my money in the exchange, and I would have come and have demanded its interest in my principal. Therefore, take away the talent from him. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to him who has, it will be given. To him, it will be given to him, and it will increase to him. But he who does not have, even that which he has will be taken from him." And the idle servant was thrown into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his set apart messengers with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep at his right and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those who are at his right, "Come you, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you covered me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me." Then those will say to him, "Our righteous master, when did we see that you were hungry and feed you, or that you were thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see that you were a stranger and took you in, or that you were naked and covered you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to them, "Truly, I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of those my brothers, you did it to me." And we're just going to pause it there for a second. Because it really seems as though when you read that parable from a separated consciousness, it really seems as though that it is speaking to a way to behave on earth. It really seems as though it is talking about what you have to do as a separate body identity. But actually, that parable is speaking of an action of the mind. And the thing I love so much about it is he says that what you did to the least of them, you did unto me. But quite literally, when you look at the idea of the wholeness of you in complete extension, see, there can be no gap. It doesn't matter how little the gap appears to be. It has to be total. Any little, Jesus talks in the Course in Miracles, he talks about mild irritation or intense fury. It's exactly the same thing. There literally is no order of difficulty. And that speaks to the action of the extension of the mind in the recognition of itself. The talents are exactly the same. Joy begets more joy. Fear begets more fear. That's just the nature of it. Any contraction is all contraction. It doesn't matter how many people you love if there is one that you hate. I mean, that's quite literally because the split is in your own mind. That's where the split is. Whether it's a hairline fracture or whether it's a gaping gulf really doesn't matter. It's exactly the same effect. It is either true or it is not anything. It isn't something that's not true. And this is the exact lesson that we're doing today on the video. I lose the world from all I thought it was. From all I thought it was, in the recognition that all really truly is idea, all really truly is God, and that there isn't a spot of darkness there anywhere, and that my only necessity is literally to join in the act of creation that's already going on. This is the ontological, and you'll experience this with the old man, and you're experiencing it right now. And it's really quite simply the action of the recognition of God. That's all it is. It doesn't require anything else. And that's what we're coming to discover in this moment. So the beauty of the video and the beauty of the parable is that it's just an experience of what literally the abundance, if you like, the effulgence that you are, the flow of communication that you really are experiencing in this moment in your own necessity and determination and perseverance. It's all just one action of the acceptance and the recognition and the love of God. It's really, it's one whole action. It's one whole being. We really are all one because all is mind. All is God. In God, all things are possible. And this is the beauty of the art that we've been looking at, because it really has given us an opportunity, given me an opportunity, to really be in the flow of the release of what I thought anything was, and really enjoy the light, the love, and the color, and the beauty that everything truly is. And, you know, for me, the way, the way it happens for me, it always just goes subatomic for me. where it, you know, it's not, there are no particles. It literally just is one wave action. And that's what's happening now. The gorgeousness, and Glad did this in her class the other day, and it was really quite extraordinary. And it was just with lesson number one, nothing I see means anything. And it's not really a lesson in judgment. It's not a lesson in discernment of what's meaningful and what's not meaningful. It is an action of the mind in the release of the form. And I'm very well aware that I am preaching to the choir here, that I am singing to the converted, but this is simply the action of my mind, and this is what we're sharing in this moment. So nothing I see means anything. Nothing I see really has a meaning in itself or a definition in itself. And so there is a release. This is so great. In the Course in Miracles, Jesus will talk about back of all your thoughts, beyond the body, beyond the sun and stars, an arc of golden light. But it's beyond the formulation. And so it's an action of the release of the necessity to hold my mind in a vice of formulation. And so the only beneficiary, I think Lois always says this, who is the only beneficiary of my forgiveness? I am. Because this is the action of the joy and the love of my mind. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody. It doesn't have anything to do. It's not situational. It cannot be located. It's everywhere because it's all my mind. And this is why the word idea is used 109 times in this video. I know, because I used the Adobe search function and I put it in there and it came up 109 times. And that's in a talk of 1 hour interspersed with music. That's a lot of times in a single talk. And so you'd think it would just be saying idea, 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 but it's really not. And at the same time, it is. It is so, because it's just always an invitation to an experience that's really already all going on. And so it really is in my best interest to release whatever it was I thought I was and come into a whole new light, a whole new way of being. And this is today's lesson. In letting all things be exactly as they are, if I do not defend myself and insist on my identity, I will begin to experience the joy of the loss of the necessity to defend myself. I am the only beneficiary. And so if we go to lesson number one, as Glad was teaching the other day, and I go, nothing I see means anything, all of a sudden, I'm seeing you in a whole new way. I'm experiencing my mind in a completely new way. Like, oh my God. And so it really is in my interest to begin to entertain the possibility of the truth of the offering. Because without my entertaining the possibility, I cannot experience it. There isn't anywhere, the Buddhist will say, if you can't find it where you are standing, where do you expect to wander in search of it? Because everywhere you go, there you'll be. And so it's, you know, and it's a really interesting idea that, you know, we went to see a guy called, what's his name? Richard Bartlett, I believe his name was. And he is one of these, he does a thing called Matrix Energetics. And he's a great guy because he's experiencing his freedom of nonconformism, and it's fantastic. And he's really beginning to see that, oh my God, you know, really? I'm just the artist here. I have all this stuff at my disposal, and I can just move this and move that, and I can pick up that mountain and move it over there, because, oh my goodness, guess what? It's all energy. That's true. It's all energy, but it's totally all energy. And you know, the truth of the matter, It's not, I went there and there's a whole bunch of brothers, and I went there to go and invite him to the Passion of Creative Mind and give him a couple of the old man's videos because I really liked the sound of the guy. I hadn't heard about him. And I got there, and I was really happy to find that, as usual, I was the last person to find out. There were 15, 20 brothers who'd already heard about him and who knew him and who loved him and were there to give him all the energy in the world. And it was absolutely fantastic. And I walked in there, and I saw this guy, and he's utterly, utterly gorgeous, adorable man. But I've got to tell you, his range is really actually very, very, very limited. And I was really grateful for the brothers who were there to really lend the support to say, Richard, it's even truer than you think. I've got news for you. And this is what Hot Dog Eric taught yesterday in the Natural Process of Miraculous Healing. I've got news for you. You're absolutely right. None of this is true. It's all idea. It's always all idea. And it's very nice that Richard is teaching people how they can realize that it's all an idea. But you can't really learn it's all an idea until you begin to entertain the idea within your own mind that it's all an idea. Because all that really happens is that you will go from person to person, pay out huge sums of money to figure out how they're doing what they're doing. There is no way that they're doing what they're doing. There's no way that they're doing that. Because it's all going on in your own mind. And so the necessity for me, always in the moment, is to release or to loose the world from all I thought it was and go, oh my God, Richard, you are in fact indeed an idea. And you are my idea. And that's all it is. It's always just my own individual necessity to be free, to be in love right here and right now. It is never more than that, but it's also not less than that. It's exactly that. God is here, God is now, and we really are home in heaven. There really is no world. That's stated 8 times in the lesson that we're going to be watching with Dear One today. It's really fantastic. He talks about gravity. Gravity, of course, being my necessity and every single thing I do to land myself in the grave. And that's where the word gravity comes from. Every single action that I take in resistance to what I truly am. And so it seems like it's a force that's acting on me. But I am all the power in the universe. And so the contraction is always mine, but the extension is also mine. And that's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that God really is real, and there really is no world, and that this really is a dream. And we're dreaming now a true dream because we're dreaming of love. We're dreaming of joy. We're dreaming of all of that. And God, in fact, does take the final step. And there is no place from which that can be described. And this is, you know, in what Walter was teaching yesterday, complete abstraction really is the natural condition of mind. And your mind already is abstract. Your mind already knows what to do. Just don't fight yourself with your need to do something else. Because there isn't anything else that you can possibly do. It's just this, it's just here, and it's just now, and it's absolutely exquisite. I had so much more prepared that I was going to read and talk about, but that's obviously not going to happen, because what's going to happen now is that we really just get to sit back and enjoy, and just enjoy ourselves, and love, and forgive, and remember, and just loose the world from all I thought it was, and to really have that experience. And it's funny watching the Monsignor yesterday, and he was consecrating the host. If it really occurred to him in that moment that the transubstantiation is really true and is really happening, and that Jesus really is risen, and that Jesus really is in fact what he is, he would be scared to death. Are you kidding me? He is relying on the fact that he can talk about it, never ever have to do it. But what we've come to is that we've talked about it and talked about it, and it's like, oh, come on, enough already. This is truth, this is true, it's true right here and right now. And so that's all finally that this moment is. This moment is simply my moment as Monsignor, not knowing, and coming into the full realization that, oh my God, it's true. I mean, the creed, the Nicene Creed is incredible. And we read it every Sunday in church. You know, I believe in God. But really, think about that for a second. That I have a source of reality that's love, that creates me perfectly, and it's happening right now. Holy smoke. And this is where, as in the parable, the sheep are sorted from the goats. This is where you loose the world from every single thing that you thought it was, and really come into this brand new, fresh, spanking moment, our last moment on earth. I love you with all my heart. I'm going to turn it over. Are we ready to go? I'm going to turn it over to Holly and Crispy. I love you so much, and with all my heart, I thank you.